You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids. The Thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
This portion of the Jimmy Dore Show is brought to you by the Malibu Center for Despair. Seriously bummed out because of that thing your mom did when you were 11? Check in and commiserate with well-off people who feel sorry for themselves just like you. The Malibu Center for Despair. If you can afford to come here, you can afford to dwell on even the smallest things that poor people struggling to survive often overlook. Our opulent 67-acre campus, located on the schmancy shores of the Pacific, is the perfect environment for you to forget about the shortcomings associated with a lack of character-building adversity, so you can focus on what's really important, the unfair life of only getting most of what you want. The Malibu Center for Despair. We'll pay attention to you, unlike your dad who was always golfing with his business associates. It's the best self-absorption money can buy. Yes, every day is a pity party at the Malibu Center for Despair. Now back to the Jimmy Dore Show, already in progress.
Hey, people. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 6th, 2023. Yes, it's a new year, which means new opportunities, new outlooks, new perspectives, and for the first time in over a year, it brings us a new Thunderbolt! Yes, people, the legend has returned! It is time once again to barricade the windows, hide the children, and brace yourself for high-voltage thunderbolts, blasting your airwaves on a regular basis. Prepare yourselves, denizens of Cascadia. Construction on my new home has been completed. I am now all moved in. And once again, I am ready to take up arms against the perfidious evildoers that are destroying our world. So join with us as we move forward to convert our planet from a smoking hellhole
into a sustainable paradise with plenty for all.
Who knows? Maybe we can conjure up some rainbows and unicorns while we're at it. However, standing betwixt ourselves and any potential rainbows or unicorns stands the usual suspects, i.e. the American war machine. As for the state of our union, I am sad to report that during my absence, it has continued its inexorable slide downward. That is to be expected when you base your entire economy upon exploitation, debt, and destruction. Our country is utterly and completely dominated by the for-profit war industry. And it is run for the benefit of the for-profit war industry. Thus, we have over half of our discretionary budget going to the war machine, and thus, we spend more on our military than the entire rest of the world combined. And thus, we launch into yet another endless interventionist war on the other side of the planet. So that Raytheon can continue looting our national treasury. Thus, we have $100 trillion weapon systems that don't work. ME-262 prints a turbojet. But don't worry, because these weapon systems were meant to protect us from threats that don't actually exist. Yes, this war machine completely dominates both of our political parties. The Republicans claim the Democrats pose an existential threat to the future of humanity. The Democrats say the same thing about the Republicans. And the thing about that is this is one of the few instances where both sides are actually telling the truth. Yes, I have noted many times in the past that even in cases where principled people enter politics for all the right reasons, that even if they win their election, they invariably either cave in and sell themselves to the war machine, or they are completely marginalized and you never hear from them again. Note that the Squad and Bernie Sanders all voted both for that obscene war budget and for funding Raytheon's proxy war in Ukraine. The profound hypocrisy is not limited to the progressives, of course. Even as the U.S. government completely destroys Julian Assange's life as punishment for being the most effective journalist of the 21st century, the notorious war profiteer and our current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, said, quote,
"Bombers at 12 o'clock.
No member of the press should be threatened, harassed, attacked, arrested, or killed for doing their job.
And on this, the International Day to End Impunity for Crimes Against Journalists, we vow to continue protecting and promoting the rights of a free press and the safety of journalists. Unquote. Even though I have been warning listeners about progressives and false flags since the beginning of this show, every time someone like Pramila Jayapal or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wins an election, hope still swells in my heart over the possibility that just maybe this time, this one will finally break the mold and start using their platform to expose the war machine rather than bending over for it. Recently, some of these so-called progressives considered suggesting to old Uncle Joe that he might want to possibly, maybe, consider entering into some diplomatic discussions to end the war in Ukraine. And they drafted a letter to that effect that they were considering maybe sending sometime. Now keep in mind, they were not criticizing American policy in Ukraine, nor were they advocating cutting off funding. And keep in mind that they never actually sent the letter. They had merely considered sending it. Yet when a draft of their unsent letter was leaked to the public in a display that almost literally made me ill, Pramila Jayapal, leader of the House Progressive Caucus, immediately and unconditionally caved and debunked their own letter. She conceded that suggesting diplomatic negotiations to end a war was just over the top. She abjectly apologized for her role in the letter just before falling to her knees and kissing Boeing's ring. And once again, the Western media is successfully leading everyone around by the nose with this Ukraine thing. And no one dares question anything about Ukraine, lest they be pilloried. After centuries of leaders lying and then further lying and then lying about their lies in order to get us to fight their wars for them, people still swallow the bait whole and question nothing. To my utter consternation, evidently, it is still a shocking and controversial position to say that our government and our media lied us into a frigging war. Is everyone just forgetting the endless stream of previous lies as they swallow these newest ones? If the United States government is not lying about this latest war, it will be the first time in history that they weren't. Yet they're doing it again, and everyone is falling for it again. So now, we have container ships full of weapons of mass destruction. They're all streaming into Ukraine. And all these weapons were manufactured by the same companies that hold our federal government in general, and the Biden administration in particular, in their pockets. And everyone from Amy Goodman to Tom Hartman are cheering them on. National Public Radio might as well be National Ukrainian Radio, since they pretty much stopped covering anything else. Instead, they are all simply repeating State Department propaganda and passing that off as news. In his entire career, Joe Biden rarely met an interventionist war that he didn't like, and his administration is stuffed, top to bottom with people who spent the Trump years either lobbying for war profiteers and or working for think tanks that are funded by war profiteers. There are no good guys who have any influence on any of this whatsoever. And it's time for everyone who are the good guys to stand up and demand peace. So, with mass shootings having become a quick path to instant celebrity in our country, and with crime rates rising at an alarming rate, it may seem to some as if our society is infested with an inordinately large number of maladjusted people engaged in highly antisocial behaviors. What is actually happening, though, is that all of these people are reacting in completely predictable and even normal manners to a society that has gone completely insane. Thus, we have people being labeled as insane because they cannot adapt to an insane world. We have created a dog-eat-dog, most-vile-person-take-all economic system that completely disenfranchises the very people that make that system work in the first place. We have created a society that lavishly rewards incredibly nasty behavior whilst severely punishing honest and honorable behavior. We have created a society where whistleblowers are punished whilst the criminals they expose are promoted. We have created a society that runs large numbers of our youth through a meat grinder and then blames them when they come out of that grinder all ground up. And this is all what is to be expected when you base your entire economy upon exploitation, death, and destruction. They say you reap what you sow, and if that is so, then I fear that the United States, as a country, is in for some pretty bitter harvests. So, good luck with that. So, Jon Stewart recently interviewed two of the most heinous war criminals in recent history, i.e., Hillary Clinton and Condoleezza Rice. And I must note that Stewart's performance there almost literally made me sick to my stomach. Jon Stewart bent over like some obsequious lackey and did not even ask a single hard question, much less call out these vile women for what he damn well knows that they truly are. Both Clinton and Rice spewed out imperialist talking points to justify the unjustifiable, and Mr. Stewart just shook his head and agreed. At one point, Mr. Stewart even said, quote, "We aren't going to relitigate Libya here," unquote. And I couldn't help but cry out, "Why the hell not?" Probably part of some prenuptial agreement they negotiated before agreeing to do the interview, but whatever. Yes, Gaddafi was a vile dictator who did not allow political dissent, and he did really bad things to anyone who did it. On the other hand, as long as they avoided politics, the average Libyan citizen enjoyed the highest standards of living in all of Africa. They enjoyed cradle-to-grave health care and top-notch educational opportunities. But by the time the Americans were done with it, Libya was a burned-out hellhole, being fought over by various factions of warlords and with open slave markets operating on the streets of Tripoli. Hillary Clinton tackled like some demented psychopath upon learning that Gaddafi had been raped to death with a bayonet. Look it up on YouTube. These people are truly twisted in a manner that defies description. Yet they run the whole world. I guess this is to be expected when you base your entire economy upon exploitation, death, and destruction. So I think that most people sometimes wonder where humanity is eventually going to end up. Especially knowing that even if we survive all of these current crises that currently confront us, it is estimated that the sun is going to blow up in around 2 or 3 billion years. So, back in the day, science fiction movies often portrayed hopeful futures for humanity. Think 2001, A Space Odyssey. Think Contact. Think Star Trek. Or even think E.T. These days, though, pretty much every science fiction movie coming out portrays some highly dystopian future. And in fact, I have started finding the sameness of all these plot lines to be highly annoying. But you see, one problem with humans is that we are very fragile physically. In addition, we require food and water. We require air to breathe. And we can only operate within a highly limited temperature range. And we die after, at most, 100 plus years. In this entire universe, in fact, the only place where we know for a fact that we can survive is on this specific planet and inside a very thin little strip of air extending from the ground to roughly 3 miles over our heads. We are not only completely dependent upon this planet for our survival, but as far as we know, unless we were wearing protective gear, then were we to find ourselves anywhere else in the entire universe, we would almost instantly die a very horrible death. However, it must be noted that machines do not have any of these limitations. A machine does not need food or water. They do not require air. They can be designed to operate at hundreds of degrees either above or below zero. They can operate in the vacuum of space, and they can travel through space for billions of years if necessary. A machine could survive just fine on the surface of the moon, or on Mars, or on most of the other rocky planets in our solar system, or on most of the moons that surround most of the other planets in our solar system. Machines can be programmed to repair themselves and thus can theoretically keep operating forever. As long as they can find the raw materials needed for such repairs. And with recent advances in both quantum computing and artificial intelligence, machines will soon be able to learn and figure things out on their own. They are, in fact, already doing that. We are closer than most people realize to a self-aware machine that can learn things on its own. For instance, everyone knows that a computer beat the chess master, Garry Kasparov, back in 1996. However, in that case, the computer had a lot of the world's leading chess experts programming it. Now, all they need to do to create an unbeatable computerized chess master is to teach the computer the rules of the game. And then the computer itself fletches out whatever else it needs to know. And again, they've already done this. So where do we go next? Actually, where we go next is to a station break. We'll be right back. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor anyone associated with this radio station. Though I am not altogether clear on whether this applies to their transdimensional doppelgangers or not. May need to get some lawyers on that one. All right, and welcome back to the second part of this week's show. As previously mentioned, this is the first new show I have produced in over a year. I had almost 10 years worth of archive shows to replay over this last year, and most of those old shows were still completely relevant to the current world. But since I constantly have listeners coming and going, then I thought I should probably explain this happenstance. In October of 2001, I purchased an old school bus from an auction, and then I spent nearly a year converting that bus into a home that I could afford to live in. And as you can probably imagine, that was a major project, and especially since I've never done anything even remotely resembling that before. And thus, my bus project took nearly all of my time and all of my energy, and I simply did not have enough left over to publish newsletters, much less come up with a couple of radio shows every month. And then, soon after moving into my new home, I moved my operation to Ashland, Oregon. And since I could not afford to do the entire trip all at once, I drove to Eugene and spent most of October there, and then I moved to Ashland right after the beginning of November. But now I'm firmly ensconced within the confines of Ashland, and I more or less have a routine established now, and thus I once again have the time and the energy to start thunderbolting. Anyway, I also mention all of this because several of my Patreon patrons have fallen off during my absence. That is perfectly understandable since I haven't been doing the work to earn such patronage. But now that I am back at work, and now that I'm discovering that living in Ashland is going to be even more expensive than living in Olympia was, then I am once again appealing for patrons on Patreon. If you feel I'm doing a worthwhile thing here, you can donate either $5 per month, $10 per month, or $20 per month.
And you can help keep this train rolling, and you can withdraw your patronage anytime you wish to do so if I ever fall short of your expectations. So just go to patreon.com/thethunderbolts. So this week's feature Thunderbolt is called The Monopolization of Everything. Have you ever heard of the investment firms of a Vanguard or a BlackRock? Well, you should, because they own your world, literally. I repeatedly pointed out that nearly everything in this world is owned and or controlled by a small handful of people. You probably thought that Jeff Bezos owns Amazon and that Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook, right? Wrong. The majority of shares of both Facebook and Amazon are not only owned by, quote, investment firms, unquote, but they are largely the same handful of investment firms that also own pretty much everything else in the world. The same handful of investment firms also own all of the major media outlets, often through yet other companies that they also own. In the Thunderbolt newsletter, I provided a link to a video showing clips of news anchors from local newsrooms all across the country, like lots of them, saying exactly the same things, using exactly the same words, as if their narrative was being dictated to them from some central information clearinghouse. Over and over and over again, numerous talking heads from numerous local outlets repeatedly using exactly the same words. The same video also pointed out how this same small handful of investment firms own not only all of the tech giants, including all of their allegedly competing interests, but they also own every major food distributor as well as all of the major food brands. Every single major brand of food you buy is owned by a small handful of giant agribusiness firms that are themselves owned by this small group of, quote, investment firms, unquote. The same people own both Pepsi and Coca-Cola. The same people also own Exxon, Apple, Google, all of the subsidiaries that are themselves owned by them or that are themselves owned by the same people who own eBay. And somewhat surprisingly, other areas where these people utterly dominate nearly everything are universities, social justice organizations, the world of NGOs, and especially environmental organizations. So the average family planning a vacation might get travel information from Expedia or Skyscanner, both owned by these investment firms. Then, they very well may fly on American or United or Delta. Doesn't really matter, because they're also all owned by these same investment firms. And you will almost certainly fly on jets that were manufactured by Boeing or Airbus. And you guessed it, both of them are also owned by these same investment firms.
If you book a room through Groupon, Booking.com, or Airbnb, well, I don't think you'll need three guesses to guess who owns all of those. If you use TripAdvisor, yes, owned by the same people. The fuel in your jet is also sold by these same people. And the steel in your jet was mined by these same people and then manufactured by these same people. They own all of the major oil companies as well as all of the major solar panel production facilities. They own all of the raw materials extraction and all of the companies that turn those raw materials into everything else we use. And they also own most of the retailers who actually sell us everything we use. And this very same small group of people who own everything also, of course, own the pharmaceutical industry. Yes, the same small group of investors owns Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, BioNTech, AstraZeneca, and Abbott Pfizer. They own Bayer, which owns Monsanto, which produces most of the cotton on the planet, along with most of the seeds that are necessary for modern agriculture. They also own the companies such as Nike, Levi's, Ralph Lauren, etc., that subsequently convert that cotton into consumer products. The same people, all of this stuff. The best website for tracking these people that I have found thus far is located at littlesis.org. That's littlesis.org. Just go to Little Sis and you can start looking up who owns what and what owns who and who is on which boards of directors and who is on numerous boards of directors. And the same few names and the same few, quote, investment firms, unquote, keep popping up everywhere on every side and in every aspect. I could name many names here, most of which you are probably completely unfamiliar with, as this class of people tend to avoid the spotlight. But central in all this is a character that I have thunderbolted many times before on this program, named Klaus, K-L-A-U-S, Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B. Mr. Schwab is a German businessman who very conveniently wrote a book that basically details exactly how the elites are going to turn the mass of humanity into their slaves for the rest of eternity. Mr. Schwab evidently didn't think that many of these potential slaves might read his book themselves. But whatever. It was Klaus Schwab, in fact, who coined the term the Great Reset. And what he means by the Great Reset is that all countries need to start suborning their sovereignty to a world government that will know what is best for everyone. Mr. Schwab has labeled his Great Reset plan for world domination as Build Back Better. That is not a joke, nor is it a coincidence.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doodles Weaver in the press box at Indianapolis.
That same video I mentioned earlier also goes on to show a clip of over a dozen world leaders who, like their media counterparts,
covering around the turn,
are all saying exactly the same things.
The doctor says okay, and there they go!
And even using exactly the same words as they explain to their respective countries,
number 10 has taken a lead around the park,
how we need to build back better.
The first car by the stands will be number 10. Here he comes down the straightaway, 135 miles an hour. There he goes now.
It's almost like a conspiracy or something.
Out of control, up to the fence, down to the fence. Unless he's careful, he's going to hit the fence. Please don't hit that fence. He hit it.
And that can only mean it's time to get to work. All right. So back before COVID, I used to produce two versions of this show. And at this point, I would air an activist events calendar for Olympia listeners. And I'd play music for Seattle listeners. And after COVID, I started just playing music for this last section, since all organizing went online during that period, and I couldn't really share links on the air. So now I'm thinking I'm going to start doing a hybrid of that idea, in that from now on, I will share any important activist events I come across in either Olympia or Seattle at this point. I probably won't go into quite as much detail as I used to, and I will not be trying to cover every single activist meeting anywhere at any time that I hear of. And after that, any time left over, I will devote to some music. This week, though, I didn't have time to put a calendar together, so let's get right to some music. These are the Osric Tentacles.
That tune was called Chewier. And before that, we had Astro Cortex. Both of those tunes from a band I only became aware of a few years ago called the Osric Tentacles. So some of you get 6 more minutes, but otherwise, we're out of here. Had a lot of fun this week. I hope to be with you many more years. So until next week, keep in mind, the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.